this afternoon. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds. And tonight out there, the west winds 10 to 20 knots, becoming northwest 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2, with a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds. Tomorrow out there, the southwest winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 15 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I do have a traffic collision to report. And this came in at 10 o'clock here, and this is southbound 101, just north of Crazy Horse Canyon Road. CHP is on the way there. There are 3 vehicles involved, it looks like, including one with a horse trailer. So that's what I got for you on that one so far. I'll let you know with more details when I get them. And if you see something out there, you can call me at 475-1080. And I will report it. Current temperatures, we've got Watsonville at 47. In Monterey, it is 51 degrees. In Salinas, 43. Here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios, it's 50 degrees. The official time, 10:07 and 6 seconds on this Saturday, April 9th. Up next, this Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
And I'm MZ. Hi, Nikki James.
Yes, you are. Hi, how are you?
How you be today? I'm pretty good.
Good. Oh, I like your shirt.
Thank you.
Nice.
It's bright and
spiffy.
And tangerine colored, sort of.
Very cute.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I don't know what color this is. Too bad it's not television.
I know,
yeah,
right?
We have to figure out a way to morph this radio station into a new media television station.
Okay.
Are you all for that?
I'm not sure about that. I'll have to think about it. Yeah. I did just get a new haircut, so.
Yeah.
You
I
can't
got,
see it.
I got all of mine cut, not just a haircut.
Oh.
I think it would be great to have a full new media state-of-the-art facility here in this giant talk studio.
So people could see our ugly mugs?
Well, we could. It would make most of us, you know, dress up a little more. I don't know. That's part of the charm of the place, right?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. So did you listen to that last program with Michael, the food chain?
I was listening to bits and pieces when I had time.
It was just so depressing to hear, that the big companies are control. And there's no such thing as things that we can be in control of ourselves anymore.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Okay, so let's have some fun.
Okay.
The guy that we're going to have on for the next program, the guest, is he's a very funny and entertaining guy. But he's also in a very, very serious business that I think is going to be much more a part of our society as time goes on. So let's officially begin the program.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
But then, the sun is shining outside. Now that's a good thing, isn't it?
It's a great thing.
Yeah, it's impossible to be depressed when the sun is shining, even after you've heard a depressing program. Anyhow, I can't wait to go back out in the sun. We should cut one of those skylights in the talk studio. Isn't that a great idea?
I love that idea.
Yeah? So you have all kinds of ideas today. So stay with us for the next 2 hours. You'll hear some more great ideas.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
As jobs become more elusive every day and the value of our currency continues to tank, more and more people are turning to barter rather than cash for their goods and services. There's a man named Dave Wagenvoort, whom I've known for many years, and if there is anyone who deserves an Oscar status award for being the barter guru, it is he. Dave used to own a station here in the Monterey Bay Area and now owns 2 stations in the Tampa Bay Area of Florida and a 50,000-watt blowtorch station in Little Rock, Arkansas. He also is an incredibly amusing character who says and does outrageous things on the radio. He also will be the featured guest on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Be Sure to Tune In for some good laughs and to learn some valuable tips on how to run your life in the coming new economy radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
if I don't pat myself on the back, who will? I'm going to pat myself on the back for the idea of having Dave on with us because it's high time and it's a very appropriate time. Hey, Dave Wagenvoort, how you doing?
Just fine. How are you, Michael Z?
Pretty good, pretty good. How's everything in Tampa, Clearwater?
Beautiful. We're 30 degrees warmer than you are, a little on the warm side, 81 right now.
Oh, yeah, it's, I don't even know what it is here. What is it, Nikki? Is it 60-something or 50-something?
51 so far. 50.
You're right. 5-0. Oh, yeah, okay.
5-0. But one thing you have that we don't have is if you live anywhere near the ocean on the Monterey Peninsula, you don't have to use air conditioning. That's a lot of money saving.
Well, that's true, I guess. And do you have to use it? You don't have to use it this time of year, right?
It's almost like a switch. On May 15th, you can't stand it anymore. You close all the windows, open and turn it on for 6 months.
Oh, my.
Till about the middle of October.
Right. Well, gee, yeah, okay, good. Thank you for pointing that out because, you know, you lived in Monterey for how long when you were running KNRY?
Well, I didn't physically live there, but I went back and forth all the time.
Oh, okay.
And we had KNRY, and then later we had KIEZ, which was AM 550, Paramount Valley. And we froze to death in our studio. Our studio was in a historic bordello on Cannery Row. And, by the way, all of the rooms were the same size, and they had a little wash basin in the back. It was a bordello.
Yeah.
And Kiefauver, during World War II, closed it down. But until then, that's what it was. And during World War II, it became a place for people who had loved ones at the base. The families were allowed to live there, and there were like 28 families living in our little radio station with one bathroom. And one of the people, while we were there, came back and wanted to see the room where she lived. She was in her 80s when I was there, and very interesting. And she said, oh, this is where we had the hot plate, and this is where we did that.
in more ways than one.
She lived there during World War II, yeah.
Right. Well, that's terrific. And guess what? It's still there. The station is still there in that same place.
And it still has no heat and no air conditioning.
Right. What is that sound? Is that your cell phone?
That's my cell phone. I'm going to turn it off.
Oh, cool.
There we go.
All right. So let's see. When you were going back and forth between Monterey and where else?
Well, we had radio stations around. Right now we have three in Tampa.
Uh-huh. Oh, three, and not two. Okay, my
three.
Apologies.
We have AM 1340, 1350, and 1400.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the mighty 880 Superstation in Little Rock, which covers the whole state of Arkansas with 50,000 watts on 880. It goes out about 250 miles.
That is fantastic. And you've had that two or three years now, or more, right?
About a year and a half.
Oh.
Not too long. Your station I find fascinating. I think you've got the only radio station in the United States that has a bomb shelter.
Well, we do, yeah, and that's where we run the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program that we produce from here and distribute to a bunch of stations around the country. And when I first took over the radio station 20 years ago, when Rush Limbaugh was just getting to be a big deal, I kept hoping that we could get him to broadcast his national program remotely from Santa Cruz, and of course that was where we would put him. We would have put him in the bomb shelter. But that didn't come to pass. So.
Well, I know you carry Alex Jones, and we do too. We carry Alex Jones both in Florida and in Little Rock. And if what he says comes true, you're going to need the bomb shelter.
I'll say, if one-tenth of it comes true.
Yeah.
So how long have you been carrying Alex? And what do you think? You're a radio guy who goes way back. Is there anybody quite like Alex? I mean, there have been conspiracy people on and off for years, but no one with the energy.
I don't know if you carry Chuck Harder, who came out of from Florida, but
we never did. I heard about him, and I don't think he's broadcasting anymore, is he?
No, he died. But
that's why he's not broadcasting anymore.
Yeah, he weighed about 500 pounds, literally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they had to wheel him around. They brought him in on a forklift to do the program. And he did a lot of the same things, but without the energy that Alex has. One time, we carried him in Las Vegas, and he was by far our most popular program. And we 80% of his phone calls came from Las Vegas when he did the national show.
Really?
Because everybody listened to him.
Uh-huh.
And he would say that that they were building a concentration camp to hold dissidents at Nellis Air Base in Las Vegas. And I'm listening to the program one day, and he kept saying that. And he said United Airlines pilots flying over Las Vegas saw the construction. It was designed to hold 250,000 people. It was so big that from the main entrance to the to where they ate at the mess hall was 2.5 miles. That's how big it was.
Jeez.
So one day he gets a phone call, and we said, he says, line two, you're on the air. And this guy comes on. He says, I'm Colonel so-and-so from Nellis Air Base. I drive every inch of this base every day. Would you please tell me where the concentration camp is? And he hung up on him and said, line three, you're on the air, and never mentioned it again.
Oh. Oh, geez. Well, well. So I don't know if anything like that has happened with or to Alex, but it would be very interesting because he's just like a steady stream of information. I've never
heard. Yeah. Alex started when he was about 17 or 18 in Texas. I think he's on KLBJ now, which is Lyndon Johnson's old station,
uh-huh.
AM 590. And he's been on the air off and on. They would kick him off when he got too crazy, but then he'd come back again. And he's been on for 20-some years, and he's only 37 years old. And I know that's even younger than you are.
Oh, way younger, like 22 years younger than I am, and a bit more younger than you are, right? So I mean,
about 45 years younger than I am.
That's incredible. We're talking with Dave Wagenvoort, who is a broadcaster and a barter man extraordinaire. Now, did you get into broadcasting as a result of barter or the other way around, or none of the above?
No, I worked for a public company, and I was a rock and roll disc jockey in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and a company came in, and we were number one in the market. I did morning drive, afternoon drive, and was the program director and worked around the clock practically. And two people from Chicago came in and that were connected with the Chicago White Sox and bought the radio station. And
uh-huh.
they said, we got to get rid of this rock and roll. We were the only rock and roll station in Broward County, so we had a huge rating.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you're crazy. I said, we're number one. He says, yeah, but I like this beautiful music that Gordon McClendon is playing in San Francisco on cable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, ABL, sure, AM 960, I think.
And so I said, well, I quit. I just got in my car and drove home, and I thought,
what age were you then, Dave?
I was about 26.
Okay.
25. And I thought, I'll just throw my one baby in the car, and I'll drive out to Los Angeles and go to a good radio station and start selling advertising. And they kept calling me. And finally, they said, would you come in and talk to us? So they said, what do you really want to do? I said, I want to manage a radio station. So they said, well, we're buying six stations. We're a public company, and we'd like you to manage the one we're buying in Boston. So go up and look at it. So I had a little old Volkswagen. I'm not getting paid. I'm even paying for the gas. I drove all the way to Boston from Fort Lauderdale and called Nelson Noble, who was the owner. And he would describe himself. He says, I'm in the steel business. He owned junkyards, but he called it the steel business. And he said, you can't come over to see the radio station because the FCC will think you've taken over. All I want to do is look in the window.
Yeah, we call that premature, premature control.
Yeah. So I said, I don't want to take over anything, but can I see it? He says, no, you can't see it. So I called the owner in Fort Lauderdale, and I said, I can't see it. He says, well, he says, we're buying another station in New Orleans. Go to New Orleans on your way back to Fort Lauderdale. I thought, well, that can't be too far. It was thousands of miles out of the way. I drive down to New Orleans, and it's owned by Connie B. Gay, the manager of Jimmy Dean, the sausage guy.
Yeah.
Country Western singer.
Yeah.
And Connie B. Gay was selling the station to the people I was talking to. And I look at it, I drive around, and I can hear it, and it seems okay. So now I drive back to Florida, and he says, next Wednesday, we're taking over Boston, so start driving on Tuesday or Monday, and you'll get there Wednesday.
To turn around, oh, geez.
So, I'm driving to Boston without getting paid, and I get to New York, and I turn on WOR, AM 710, for the noon news.
Yeah.
Driving through New Jersey, getting ready to get on the road to Boston. And the last story is four stations in Boston lost their license today for payola. And one of them is WILD, which was the one we're buying, AM 1090.
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's not going to be granted the next day. It just lost its license. So I pull into a diner. You didn't have cell phones in those days. You had to go to a pay phone.
Sure.
Called the owner and said, they're not, isn't going to happen. I said, the station just lost its license. So he says, well, go back to New Orleans and check that out again.
back and forth.
I'm wearing out this Volkswagen Beetle, which I think I bought for $100. And down to New Orleans I go again. So now I'm really going to check it out. And they had girls that did the country western program that if you bought time would have sex with the advertiser. And the morning girl was named Dawn, and then they had Sunny, and then they had Afternoon was her name.
You must have done extremely well.
Well,
so most of the station.
We were going to go the Gordon McLendon format and New Orleans. That was our whole idea. We were going to get rid of the country. So I walk in the station, and like your control room, and I'm standing behind the guy that's on the air just looking at the equipment, and the station goes off the air. And the guy says, don't stand there. That knocks us off the air. He said, there's a loose board there, and if you stand there, we go off the air. Get off of that board. And I thought, well, did you ever think about fixing the board? Which they did not. And that was my introduction to New Orleans. So now I drive back to Fort Lauderdale, put 83 Mottovani albums in the back of my little Volkswagen, and drive back to take over. And the owner comes over. The station's billing $900 a month, which is $30 a day. And the spots were 50 cents, not even a dollar a holler. So I had an overhead of $7,000, so I thought he'll give me some operating capital. So he puts $5,000 in the bank, and he says, now write me, and this is the president of the company, write me an expense check for $3,000. I'm on the thing. So I give him $3,000. Now I only got two. We have no receivables, $7,000, and then at the end of the month, we have to give Connie Begay $3,000. So somehow with this radio station billing nothing, and we've now changed the format, I have to come up with $10,000. So I call in my sales manager, who formerly worked in a steel mill in Gary, Indiana, big, tough guy, named Harry Lattice, who turned out to be a great radio salesman. I said, Harry, you got to go trade something that we can sell so we save the radio station or we're going out of business at the end of the month. So Harry goes over to a Ford dealer and trades three Ford Falcons with the title. And he says, all we got to do is drive over tomorrow, give him the contract. He likes the sound of the station. We'll drive the three cars over the Greater New Orleans Bridge. I've got them sold to a used car dealer. We'll sell them right away. The station is saved. So we go over to get him, and I bring an old programming engineer type with us because we have to have three drivers to drive these cars away. And we're sitting at the desk of Dick Bone Ford, and he's signing off the titles. And in the middle, he's already signed the radio contract. In the middle of giving us the cars that are going to save the station, Jim Brown, the engineer, says, wait a minute. In the middle of the sale, I said, Jim, can you hold it just a second? No. He said, this doesn't seem fair. He's giving us three cars, and we haven't run the advertising yet. And I said, Jim, would you step outside the office for just a second? So I said, Jim, I closed the door. We're out in the lobby of the dealership. I said, Jim, let me explain something to you. This is saving the radio station. I said, if you kill this sale, not only will you be fired, but I will physically kill you.
That's so a good thing.
He got the message. So
good.
I said, come back. I said, stand here. We're going to give you the keys to one car, drive it to the used car dealer, and save the radio station. Well, Dick Bone had not clearly heard that, fortunately. And we drove the three cars across, and the radio station started. And we built, with that, we were able to make all expenses the first month. And we built 4,400 the first month, 8,000 the second month, 13,000 the fourth month, 28,000 the fifth month, and by the sixth month we were doing 40,000 a month on a daytimer.
And daytimer to the audience means it's a license. It's not 24 hours. You got to
right.
You got to shut down at sunset.
And the way we explained that, if you're selling against a daytimer, we said, oh, you're on that station that it's confusing. They go on when the sun comes up or something and go off and. It's a part-time station. It's not part of the time.
Yeah.
And I guess when they're on, they're pretty good. If you're a daytimer, you don't talk like that. You say, I don't know about you, but at night I go home and watch TV.
Right.
The guy says, yeah, so do I.
which is true. But anyhow, radio isn't as much of a nighttime medium as it is a daytime medium. Although that could be changing if you have good content. You know, content is king, right? And there isn't a lot of stuff on you know, the hundreds of channels that you get through satellite or cable. You know,
by the way, there's a guy named Cowboy Jack White from Texas, who's the leading artist in Texas, who was going to call in about now, so you could tell your patient to put him on.
There's someone named Jack in SC. Is that who it is? Jack in SC. Well,
yeah, if you can conference him. He was when I did a radio morning show in Las Vegas and on KNRY for a few years. He was always the first caller, and he famous artist, and Mickey is his wife. She's also a famous artist.
Jack, it is an honor and a privilege to have you join
you
us
much.
Here.
Dave, you forgot to tell him about Lou Epton, who makes Alex Jones sound like
that's absolutely true. We had a man who bought a program on our Las Vegas station called Lou Epton.
Okay.
And you're right. He was to the right of everybody.
Everybody.
I mean, way out there.
Can you even say that Alex is to the left or the right?
You can't.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he's very smart, because by not pigeonholing himself, he's got a broader appeal. Even if you don't buy what he's saying, it's so entertaining that you listen to it.
Right.
Oh, and I don't have a clue how that young man can come up with so many. I mean, he makes Glenn Beck look like a beginner.
Oh, he sure does.
That's true. Well, Jack is a artist, there's a street named after him in San Antonio. You live somewhere near San Antonio.
We live out in the country, yeah.
Out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
South of
San Antonio. We're about 25 miles from Alamo.
You've done portraits for some presidents, right?
I did Lyndon Johnson.
Okay.
John Connolly, did Ray Kroc.
Hey, Jack, Lyndon Johnson's dead now, so it's safe to say, I think, it might be, maybe it's not. Do you think, you know what I'm going to ask you now, do you think that he had anything to do with the assassination of Kennedy? Probably everything, right?
There's a Texan that wrote a book on Lyndon that accused him of murdering a land commissioner that went against him. The guy was committed suicide with a single bolt action rifle with 5 shots in the middle of his back. Texan Hagley wrote the book, Texan Looks at Lyndon, and he indicted him a murder on that, and it's pretty obvious that he was, you know, the Kennedys were booting him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I have no doubt that he somehow connected to it.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I couldn't not ask that question.
Yeah.
There's someone named Hillary from Jerusalem who's on the line. Is this someone else that we should expect? Because we haven't even invited phone callers yet.
Yeah, that's Hillary Clinton. So put her on.
Okay, hold on just a second here. It's echoing, so I better not add a third person. I'm going to put Jack back on hold here, okay?
Okay.
All right, now here comes Hillary in Jerusalem. Okay, Hillary, you're on the air on KSCO on the Saturday special with MZ and Dave Wagenvoort and Jack somewhere in San Antonio. Hello? Hillary? Hillary?
Was it something we said?
I don't know. I don't know, but you know, Hillary must have gotten bored and went to relieve nature's internal pressure or something.
Now, Jack was always the first caller, and I know your mother listened to my program, probably much to your chagrin.
No, I loved it because I thought it was great. It was
okay.
She has a great sense of humor, and when you now Hillary just hung up.
Okay,
we took her call, and then she hangs up. Anyhow, should we invite calls yet, or we no? There's enough stuff to.
Well, I want to show you one. Jack and I would do routines that. Weren't always true, but he would call up and explain that his wife Mickey weighed between 400 and 500 pounds, about 390.
Okay.
And he found a picture of a 400 or 500 pound woman, put Mickey's head on it with a computer, and we offered nude
back
pictures.
Then. Wow.
Yeah, in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And we offered nude pictures of Hillary if you were the fourth caller, and then we would pin them on the door of the radio station at night. We'd have this nude picture hanging there, and the guy had to drive in from wherever he was listening and get this picture of this huge woman. So people would meet her later after we built her up as this massive woman, and she weighed about 120 pounds. I said, "My God, you don't look like you weigh 400. She said, "Well, I've been on a very intense diet." And one time that I remember, in fact, I think Jack could repeat it. Can you put Jack back up?
Yeah, hold on just a second. And Hillary's called back, by the way. Here, go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let's try Hillary.
Okay, hold on a second. Here comes Hillary. Hillary, are you there? Okay, we have a problem. You must be on a cell phone or something because we're not getting anything. Yeah, that's not going to work, I'm afraid, because, that's a cell phone or something.
Yeah, tell Mrs. Clinton to use the secure line, the bomb shelter. And
okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, if she could call back from the bomb shelter, which presumably has a landline, that would be great. Okay, now you wanted Jack to tell you something? Okay,
yeah.
Jack, go ahead. You're back.
Yeah.
Jack, I want to show him. I want to reenact the day you called up and told me that you had a Rottweiler dog and didn't know what to do with it.
Oh, well, we had some friends that moved out of town quickly and had a great Rottweiler, and they wanted us to find a home for it. Well, I happened to take it by the radio station, and Dave and I are in there, and he was a really obedient dog, and I told him to sit. And there was a young minister in there, and Dave said, "What are you going to do with him?" I said, "I really don't know." Dave said, "Well, why don't you take him out in the desert and get him to look at you? You played baseball, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, take a bat and hit him in the back of the head, and I can sell it at the Taiwan restaurant for $50. I said, "God, we could use the money."
Right, and I'll split the money with you.
Yeah. And the preacher was in tears. Literally in tears. And of course, Dave didn't let up.
We did this on the radio. And people are calling, and we're not putting callers on the air. And I said, "Jack, just swing for the fences, you know, right on the back of the head. And it's painless. It's a lot nicer way to die than what the Humane Society does with those injections."
We did serve some traffic. And another day I called in on it, and I talked about, he asked me where was the dog, and we were in the summer in Las Vegas. I said, "Well, we've got a little tree out in the yard, and I've got him tied to the tree."
It's 120 degrees.
And so Dave said, "You don't even have an air conditioner." I said, "No, I don't have an air conditioner." And people started bringing air conditioners down to the radio station, and Dave needed an air conditioner, so he stuck one of them in the window. But I went by Cactus Jack, and I called my wife.
Well, when did it become Cowboy Jack?
I think he said that because I was born on a ranch. And, you know, but I went by Cactus Jack out there on our stick, and I'd call in. And I think the greatest thing is we went, they got a press pass to the Kentucky Derby, and I went out there as an official for the radio station, and they said, "Buy me a horse out there." So I'm buying my horse on the radio, and people are, God, they're telling me, like, "Dave, how crazy is that guy? Doesn't know anything about horses." Well, as luck would have it, I bought Dave a $2 ticket, and I picked the winner and the second place horse on the air the day before the race.
Yeah.
And they came in 1 and 2, just like I picked.
Yeah.
And people were begging Dave to put me on the air to help them with booking horse racing.
And did it work? Did it work?
Well, we didn't get to do anything with it. But yeah, I won. I won it and gave it to Dave. I said, "You need to fly out there." And he won $8. And I said, "You got to fly to the Derby and cash in your ticket, his $8 ticket." I imagine you still got the ticket someplace.
I probably do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. So you guys have had a lot of fun, and do you still go on the air and do fun things?
Not much anymore. I mean, you know, I'm so long far away, but you know, they're still dear friends of ours. And Lola went by the Hat Lady, and
Lola is Dave's wife or partner.
Yeah,
she went with one
Lola,
of the two. Right.
Lola the Hat Lady.
Right.
And the most fun we've ever had in our life was the year that we lived in Las Vegas and been on the radio because people absolutely believed all these things. One quick story, Dave. Tell them about the Whittlesey cab.
About
the Whittlesey cab.
When she got stuck in the cab. You don't remember. So, well, anyhow, Dave, we invented a story that the Whittlesey cab, which is a kind of a van.
Yeah, black and white colored two-tone thing. I've
and
seen them.
They picked her up, and then she got stuck in it and could not get out.
And this is for real?
No, she weighs 120 pounds.
Oh, okay.
But people thought she weighed 500 pounds.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So we had them, you know, and we had a lot of fun, you know, and right. I'd say, well, she's...
By the way, on the weight thing, we would do a contest saying we're looking for the fattest woman in Las Vegas, and no one would ever enter. And we would just constantly say we're looking, we'd say waddle on over to the studio, and really offensive stuff, and I was waiting for some heavy group to attack me, and then I was going to stop. But I did it in Monterey at KNRY. We said we're looking for the fattest woman in Monterey. And this woman that weighed about 500 pounds came up. You know our studio there in the Bordello. You had to walk up these long stairs. Well, it took her like 10 minutes to get up the stairs, and she sat down. And Don Stubbs was our talk host at that time. And he buzzes me in the office and says, this is really boring. Make a phone call to make it interesting. So I called up and said, this is Irving. And she says, yeah, hi, Irving. I said, I don't know how to address a weight-challenged person. Can I throw a few things out at you, and you tell me if they're okay? She said, go right ahead, Irving. I said, full figure. She said, that's fine. I said, balloon butt. And she screamed, no, jumped up, and almost rolled down the stairs to the street and left.
Oh, my God.
So we had one woman in Monterey said she would enter the fattest woman in Monterey County contest. And I'm explaining to her how it's going to work. I said, I know you probably can't make it up our stairs. So I said, we've arranged for a forklift that will lift you up to our, in Cannery Row, that will lift you up to our balcony.
Yeah.
And you'll come up here and you'll be interviewed on the radio. On the forklift, I said, we're going to have a mattress, so it'll be comfortable. Well, you just lie on the mattress and you'll come right up here. And I said, then we'll talk to you on the radio. And then we're going to take you out to Pier 1. And we're going to weigh you on the tuna scale at the end of the pier. And she said, okay, all that was okay. I said, you'll still be in the forklift, and the tuna scale will use the same mattress. We're not going to spike you like we would a tuna.
Right.
And she said, that's fine. I said, then CNN. And she says, no television. And she resigns from the contest.
Oh, no.
But
that's
it went
terrible.
That far, yeah.
What a shame.
So we never had an entry. We did one other contest in Vegas that I think Jack knew about, where we said, we're looking for the biggest cow patty in Nevada. Bring your doo-doo, because you can't say the S word on radio.
That's
bring
exactly
your doo-doo
right.
to the radio station. And I did it for about 10 days, and nobody brought any doo-doo, and I went away for 3 days. I came back. There were 25 entrants. The whole radio station was dried cow you-know-what.
Oh, no.
One woman that entered... sent in buffalo. Her friend was in Buffalo, New York, and he had a buffalo, and he had sent her a buffalo patty, and it was one of the losers, and I said, we got to select a winner quick because this place really stinks. And I had the janitor throw all the stuff in a dumpster out in front of the radio station in Las Vegas in the commercial center, and she called me back and said, I want my buffalo patty back. And I said, well, all entries
become the property,
of KLAV radio.
Yeah.
And she said, well, that's terrible. That was sentimental. She said, my boyfriend sent that to me. And it's his buffalo. I said, is the buffalo alive? She said, yes. I said, call him up. Yeah. It'll go again. Have him send you a replacement. Oh, yeah. Okay. And she was totally satisfied. Now, when people would call with... conspiracies that they'd heard, like the concentration camp at Nellis. One guy called one time and he said, there's a freight car with 40,000 pairs of handcuffs in it parked on a siding in downtown Las Vegas, and they're going to handcuff 40,000 people that are dissidents. So then I had a caller that was called Mr. Conspiracy. He would investigate that conspiracy charge, and then he checked with the railroad, and there weren't any handcuffs. Another one called and said, the city of Biloxi has purchased military trucks from Russia. Obviously, this is to help Russia take over Biloxi. So I called the mayor of Biloxi, and he said, yes, we did purchase military trucks from Russia, and we turned them into garbage trucks. So that one wasn't true. But we would go through each conspiracy that people would report. We would either debunk it or not debunk it.
And this is all on the air?
All on the air. All on the air.
Oh, God, that's great.
Vegas is probably the most diverse group of insane people in the world, not the United States. Not to put you in that group, Jack.
If there are any people in Vegas listening to the Saturday special today, I hope they'll call in to 831-479-1080 and participate. You know, that'd be great. I'm going to put Jack back on hold so I stop echoing here.
Okay.
And just a total blast, just sort of a hybrid between having an absolute blast and really, you know, using barter, which you told me the original story of, presumably, on the
radio. The original use, our use of barter was to survive. We didn't have enough money to keep the radio station going. And as a matter of fact, the founder of Home Shopping Network, which everybody knows.
Yeah.
I had a radio station here in the Tampa area, and he was going out of business, couldn't make the payroll, and in the trunk of his car, he had traded a couple of hundred electric can openers, and a bell went off in his brain, and he said, wait a minute, maybe I can sell those can openers and make the, he went to a hardware store, sold them, and made the payroll. So he turned his station into auctioning things. He would trade things weekends at, I was getting him Carnival Cruises, I was handling the cruise line. He would trade weekends at Daytona Beach, a trip to Atlanta, and you'd bid for it on the air, and he survived. From that, he went to one cable channel trying to sell things on television, and from that, he found a person who put up the money to get on the national channel, and when they went public, it was the fastest run-up of stock in history, faster than Xerox, and there are people here that put up 10,000. He had five people that put up 10,000. To fund his start, and some of those people, the 10,000 became $3 to $5 million.
Holy Christmas!
So there was, yeah. And when he retired, he left with $250 million selling his stock, and he had gone broke four or five times.
Wow!
His name was Bud Paxson.
Uh huh.
He still owns 40 or 50 major television stations that he has leased to NBC, and he lives in Southern California at this time.
You know the man?
Know him. I used to loan him money.
Oh,
I had a barter company in Miami, and he was in Sarasota. I traded a motorhome for him to do a promotion with, and he owed me $400. And he handled a place called the Longbow Key Tennis Club, very nice place on Longbow Key. And he said, get me the $4,000 motorhome. I'll pay you $400 a month in cash, and you can come to Sarasota and stay a weekend at this fabulous resort 10 times.
Uh-huh.
So that was the interest. I would go and spend the weekend there. And he paid it all back. But at no point, and he was always going broke, but at no point did he not think he was going to hit it huge. I mean, there was no point that he let any setbacks bother him, which was a great lesson about succeeding in business.
You hear that so many times about super successful entrepreneurs. They got knocked down and they pick themselves up and dust themselves off, as the saying goes.
One of the most interesting ones was when he got out of Home Shopping, he bought 45 radio stations for about $48 million. He bought from Gannett and other people. He bought up these stations all over Florida, and right after he bought them, Clear Channel was starting, and they came into his office here in Clearwater and said, we want to buy all 48 stations. How much do you want for them? Now, he had paid about under $50 million for them. He hadn't owned any of them more than a year and a half, and you're an owner, and so they were all new to him.
Yeah.
They were good facilities. So they said, how much do you want? He said, let me think about it over the weekend. I'll tell you Monday. So he told me that he thought, I'll say something really stupid here. He said, I got $48 million in them. So he said, I'll tell him I want $548 million cash. For these 48 radio stations. And so he came back Monday and said, okay, they're yours for $548 million. Clear Channel immediately said, okay, and bought them. And he made $500 million off that one sale.
Yeah.
And Clear Channel owns them to this day.
Wow. Anyhow, those days are gone.
Yep.
Because the days of overpaying for radio stations, were from 96, 97, late 96 to 97 to 2000, and it's been going down ever since.
The Disney company just sold all of their stations. I'm a broker, and I work with a broker in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That sold all these stations for Disney. Everything in a city under 500,000, they sold for an average of 25 cents on the dollar what they'd paid for.
Right.
They sold stations.
Okay, now do you attribute that to the economy, which has tanked and is tanking more and more every day, or do you attribute it to the impact of the internet, or both?
No, absolutely not, because just as many. I don't call it terrestrial radio, which I think is a huge mistake. Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. You got free radio, which is KSCO, and you got pay radio, which is you pay $13 to get the thing in your car.
Right.
That's pay radio. Well, pay radio today has lost not millions, billions of dollars.
Oh,
the stockholders are a penny on the dollar, if that.
And the two providers, Sirius and XM, were permitted to merge.
Right.
Which I don't think was a good idea, but, you know.
Can say the F word 100,000 times a day if they want to, and it's okay.
And we can't even say it once.
We can't even say the S-H-I-T word.
That's exactly right. We can't say that word.
Nope. And
can we spell it? Can we spell it? I hope we can spell it, because you just did.
Now, one of their arguments.
I say the S word, the word that starts with S and ends with T and has an H and I in the middle. But
if you were fine, because I spelled out the word, which doo-doo is okay. I always use doo-doo.
Yes.
Or caca. If you use something a two-year-old says, I think you could defend it. At the FCC level.
Right.
I mean, my two-year-old said that.
Okay.
But if you're fined, I'm willing to pay up to 10% of the fine. So.
That's very kind of you, Dave. Thank you.
But radio now reaches 97% of what it ever reached at the peak, which is about 275 million people a week listen to radio. And the number one format in radio is talk radio. And 16% of the people listen only to talk, and 45% of the people listen at least part-time to talk. Among the people who listen only to talk, the second most popular format is country western, and rock and roll is a poor third with 7% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got that. And then when you get to, that's 12 plus, people 12 and over. When you get to the baby boomers, talk is totally dominant.
Yeah. Yeah, because they care about what's going on around them, you know.
And you've done a great job with that station. Of course, you've got the biggest signal of anybody in town, which helps.
Yeah.
You got the 10,000 watts, and you're streaming, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do you stream in video?
No, I would like to do that, but there's a lot of resistance from the staff here. Because we all they think they look bad. I guess I don't agree.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares what people look like? I mean, so I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna do. I am going this week to Vegas to the NAB,
right?
To spend a couple of days in the exhibit hall to you know write out a list, you know, for our studio rebuild here in the talk studio. And I do want this to become a new media studio with a green screen and everything else, you know, so that we can do video on the internet and so forth. That's the plan anyhow. So we'll see. How about you with your stations? Are you making, plans?
Yeah, we're streaming video. And if somebody wants to take a look at it, we've got we have a gentleman in the studio right now. I'm in my office at the radio station in Clearwater. He's about 94 years old. He's been doing his show for 65 years. On big bands. He played trumpet with Benny Goodman. That's how old the guy is. His name is Buddy Birdie. And he's in there doing a two-hour show right now, which he's done on this station for about 25 years, and on one station or another for almost 50 years.
Right.
We have churches on here Sunday. We do African-American churches on Sunday for 10 hours that have been on for 45 and 50 years, the same church.
It's amazing. That is stability. Hey, the pilot in command here reminds me that it's time to do a commercial break. In fact, it's way past the time. So hold on just a second. We'll come back with more with Dave Wagenvoort right after these commercials. So stay with us.
Ben Lohman Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lohman Market. This week we are featuring large Fuji apples, 77 cents a pound, and large navel oranges from California, 69 cents a pound. Both are eating great. As we are getting into spring, local produce is becoming available. We have local celery, 98 cents each, local head lettuce, 87 cents each, and local grown 12-ounce packages of whole or sliced white mushrooms. All are featured this week. In organics, we are featuring 1-pound clamshell strawberries, $3.89 each, and local grown red onions, 88 cents a pound. The organic strawberries are eating especially good right now. So come and check out our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lohman Market and Scotts Valley Market.
Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
Travelers, head on out into the open road and take your bedroom and bathroom with you in a new, fully contained Road Trek RV that gets 22 to 24 miles per gallon. Road Trek has it all in 17 feet. Double bed, bathroom, shower, and kitchen. You can park it anywhere, and it's as easy to drive as your second car.
Hi, this is Jim Eberhardt, the Road Trek manager at Seagram's RVs in San Martin. Call me today to schedule a test drive in a new Road Trek RV. 888-868-1980. Seagram's at Seagram's RV.
When it comes to dental care, you want to be treated with comfort, compassion, and competence. And we believe you deserve it. Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody in Santa Cruz. Listen.
My name is Terry. I am terrified of going to the dentist. I was referred to Guy Peabody, and they told me about the sedated dentistry. They're really great people. The first time I went, I had taken a pill an hour beforehand, and I sat down in the chair and I took another pill. It was at least 3 hours later. I woke up and all the work was done and I didn't remember anything and I hadn't felt any pain at all. It's so much better to walk in there and zone out and walk out 3 hours later and everything is done.
Dr. Guy Peabody provides a comprehensive approach to treating dental problems in the most comfortable ways possible, including sedation, laser therapy, and digital imaging. It's time. Take care of your teeth. Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343 or click on drpeabody.com. Wake up to a beautiful smile.
Building contractors and do-it-yourselfers, get to Big Creek Lumber Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 noon for Redwood Construction Heart Decking for only $139 per foot. Yes, Redwood Heart Decking. Big Creek Lumber Redwood Heart Decking, the best redwood in the world for only $1.39 a foot and only on Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 12 noon at Big Creek's 2801 Soquel Drive location in Santa Cruz. Do not miss out on Big Creek's Redwood Construction Heart Decking for $1.39 a foot. If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Okay, welcome back to the final 4.5 minutes of hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Special guest Dave Wagenvoort, a barter guru extraordinaire, and a fine broadcaster who has had a lot of fun in his life, owning lots of stations and having fun with every one of them. What I want to do, Dave, with your permission, is I want to get into a discussion of barter and how do you agree with me that there's going to be an awful lot more bartering going on for goods and services?
Yes, absolutely. As the dollar continues to go down, and this is not a conspiracy opinion, the dollar, the reason gas is $4 a gallon and everything and inflation is rampant, but they don't count oil as part of the inflation check, and they say, no, there's not really any inflation. Well, anybody that's going to fill their car up this weekend knows that gas has gone up 50% in the last 6 months, and it's not going to stop. It's going to $5 a gallon probably by July or August.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing to stop it, and there's nothing to stop the oil continuing to go up as the dollar goes down. So people get into barter because they know what the value is. The barter clubs are prospering. They're all over the country.
Now, when I first started, when I first acquired KSCO, I thought that it was just, boy, did I have a rude awakening, because this didn't end up to be true at all. I figured, oh, anything I want, I can go out and trade for advertising. It doesn't work that way. At least it didn't for me. You have to, it's still, what it is that you're bartering, what we were bartering is airtime, you know, on the radio station, and what the people I wanted to barter with were bartering was stuff that cost them, a certain amount of money that they got to be convinced that if they're running ads on my station, that it's worth it, that it's not, you know, so it means we have to have an audience. Now, you started your whole barter business, and we really haven't even talked about that. We can get into that next hour. You have a barter-based advertising agency, am I right?
Yes. We call it, in the advertising part, we call it no-cash advertising rather than barter, meaning that we enable a company to advertise locally, regionally, or nationally without having to write a check. But I find that people you're talking to about that to either get it or don't get it. More than half don't understand what you're talking about. I don't get it. What do you mean? Right now we have a new account, which is a golf resort in Bay City, Michigan, and we're going to advertise throughout Michigan and the northern part of the country. We're going to give the radio station rooms, buffet food, and golf on a beautiful 18-hole golf course. This will enable a resort to advertise over a 2 or 3 state area, Chicago, Detroit, and so forth.
That they couldn't otherwise advertise to,
yeah,
do,
and the, and
afford
the, and,
to do, rather.
And the station can use these for promotion, or you can have a sales contest and send the best salesman up for a weekend, or you can let a client take part of it, or just give it away on the air. But stations are always trying to get a prize closet, which are things that they can promote with and give away, and they like to get that without having to write a check.
Right.
At the same time, the resort, if Michael's Whirling goes to Bay City and plays golf, it doesn't cost him anything to have an extra guy go around the golf course. The course is there anyway.
Right.
When you eat the buffet, it costs him 75% less, because if you ate $10 worth of food, it cost him $2.50.
Uh-huh.
And the hotel, $150 hotel room, costs about $15, so they've got, for $15, they're getting $150 worth of advertising. So it's a hugely profitable deal for the client.
Right.
But still, it's not. You're exactly right. Unless you can get to the guy that's really concerned with the bottom line of the company. I handled Carnival Cruise Line from the beginning, for when they had one ship, the Mardi Gras.
I can't wait to talk about that. But yeah, we're 13 seconds from the top of the hour. So let's hold that for a discussion for next hour right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, coming up on 11 a.m. Back with more with Dave Wagenborn after Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Brett Larson. The president signing the continuing resolution to fund the government through Thursday night as both sides come together on the deal.
Democrats, President Obama and Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, agreed to cut $38.5 billion in spending to the current fiscal year, handing House Republican Speaker John Boehner the first major achievement of his time in charge of the Republican majority. Republicans were able to get a guarantee that the Senate would eventually have a standalone vote to repeal the Obama health care care law, as well as defund Planned Parenthood. In the end, all sides agreed it had been a tough battle, but showed that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle could cooperate and that the new Speaker John Boehner could do business with President Obama. At the Capitol, Carl Cameron, Fox News Radio.
Protesters are continuing to gather in Yemen. They are calling for the end of President Ali Abdullah Saleh's 32-year rule. The two sides clashed with each other Friday in the southern city of Taiz. Four protesters died. New information coming in from a bomb blast outside a California synagogue.
At first, police thought the explosion outside a Santa Monica synagogue was an industrial accident.
We were doing some more investigative work on it and looked at some different analysis on the incident. And as a result, we have made the determination that this was an intentional act.
Police Sergeant Jay Trisler. Police have linked the device to 60-year-old Ron Hirsch.
He's a transient that frequents the Chabad in Santa Monica and other Chabads throughout Los Angeles.
Hirsch is considered extremely dangerous. No one was hurt, but the explosion shattered windows, punched a hole in the synagogue, and sent shrapnel flying. Salchi and Grasso, Fox News Radio.
Police in Northern Ireland have defused a 500-pound bomb found in a van under a freeway overpass. IRA dissidents are suspected of constructing the explosive in the vehicle, which was located near the Irish border. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Weeknights. Lou Dobbs is back to business. Hard-hitting interviews, sharp market insight, in-depth analysis with a critical eye on events shaping today's most important stories. Weeknights, Dobbs is back to business, going back-to-back with one of the most experienced names in business journalism, Neil Cavuto. Two trusted names, one powerful network. Watch Neil Cavuto at 6 and Lou Dobbs at 7, only on Fox Business Network, giving you the power to prosper.
I was 11 years old at my first national championships. I fell, I don't know how many times.
Michelle Kwan is the most decorated figure skater in U.S. history.
But I had a dream. My dream came true because I dedicated myself.
Dedication made Michelle Kwan a champion.
I was passionate about something, and I made sure that I worked hard for it.
And dedication can make your dreams a reality.
Whatever your dream and goals are, they can come true.
Dedication. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
A new book of letters from John Lennon is set to be released.
There are places I remember.
John Lennon wrote about places and people, in song, of course, in books, and he was a prolific letter writer. Letters written by John Lennon will be published in October of next year. Yoko's part of it, and it's the first time she's given permission for Lennon's letters to be published. Editing the book is Hunter Davies, who wrote the only authorized biography of the Beatles. He was able to examine Yoko's archives, as well as track down correspondence in the hands of collectors, dealers, about 200 letters in all.
My life, I've loved them all.
Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
The reviews are in for Charlie Sheen's latest stage appearance in his Torpedo of Truth tour in New York City. Complaints, mostly that it was too short, but at just under an hour, too long. The crowd at Radio City Music Hall seemed initially welcoming, but boos and shouts of boring rung out. And as audience members left the theater, complaints about the show poured out. A problem for the feds in their case against a man who wanted to bomb a public event in Oregon.
20-year-old Mohammed O. Mohammed is accused of trying to detonate a car bomb at a Portland, Oregon Christmas tree lighting ceremony last November. But the people he was working with, who he thought were radical Islamists, were actually FBI agents. And at the critical moment, there was no bomb, and he was arrested. Well, now it turns out that when Mohammed first made contact with these FBI agents, the device that was to have recorded the conversation had dead batteries. This is significant because without that recording, Mohammed's attorneys could argue entrapment. If the judge allows that defense, the prosecution would have to prove that Mohammed was predisposed to committing a crime. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Sidney Lumet directed such films as Network and Dog Day Afternoon. He died today at 86 after suffering from lymphoma. A Philadelphia native, Lumet moved to New York City as a child, which became the backdrop of more than 30 of his films, which, though he admittedly loved, he often showed its grittier side. I'm Brett Larson, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Sunny skies today. High is 65. West-northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, low of 42, with the west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 64, west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the east winds 10 knots, becoming west 10 to 20, with occasional gusts to 25 in the afternoon. The wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds, and tonight out there, the west winds 10 to 20 knots, becoming northwest 10 knots after midnight, with the wind waves of 1 to 3 feet, becoming less than 2, and a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 10 seconds. And on Sunday, tomorrow, we got southwest winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 15 seconds. And for your KCO King of the Hill traffic update, let's see here, there was... nothing major to report, actually, right now. So, but if you see something, you can give me a call at 475-1080. Current temperatures, Watsonville's at 50 degrees. It's 53 in Monterey, 49 in Salinas, and 54 here in Santa Cruz. The official time, 11:06 and 37 seconds on this Saturday, April 9th. Up next, Saturday special, second hour. Stay tuned.
We're going to have lots and lots and lots of fun.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn a lot, too, in this hour.
Sweet.
If you don't believe me, listen. Just listen.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Well, as it said on the promo that's been running for a couple days, jobs are going away, and I think people are going to start trading for services.
Sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And we've got a great guest here to tell us about how that could possibly work. But keeping format here, first we're going to play the latest K's commentary. So here it is.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Now that I am 90 today, dear Lord.
Yesterday.
I am 90, and there's much I have not done. I hope, dear Lord, you will let me live until I'm 91. If I have not finished all I want to do, would you let me stay around until I'm 92? So many places I want to go, so much I want to see. Do you think you could manage to make it 93? Many things I have done, but there's so much left in store. I would like very much to live to 94. And if by then I'm still alive, then I would like to stay to 95. The world is changing very fast, so I would really like to stick around and see what happens to the world when I am 96. I know, dear Lord, it's a lot to ask, and it will be nice in heaven, but I would like to stay around until I'm 97. I know by then I won't be fast, and sometimes I will be late, but it will be oh so pleasant to be around at 98. I will have seen so many things and had a wonderful time, and so I'm sure that I will be willing to leave when I am 99. Well, maybe. By Anonymous. For KSCO, this is K's Whirling.
And we have to be, we're celebrating 20 years of local ownership and management of KSCO Radio all this year. I think we should be celebrating the 90th anniversary of the greatest mom in the world's birth for the same year. So happy birthday, Ma. We had a great celebration yesterday. We want to be doing it all year long. Back to our special guest now. That would be David Wagenvoort, who is a resident of Florida, Tampa, Clearwater area. And Before the break, Dave, you and I were starting to talk about you handling cruises for Carnival and bartering those. Am I right? Yeah.
That's right. That my first major account was Carnival Cruise Line when they first started.
Okay. And so what, you still do that? I mean, you still trade cruises and things like that?
Not so much, because now with the advent of computer and these companies that buy up all the inventory, virtually every cruise ship goes out full because they just keep lowering the price until they sell all the cabins.
Yeah.
But they had a hard price before the advent of the computer getting into the travel. And they did have empty cabins, but now everything's going to be full at some figure. If they only sell it for $200, they're still going to sell it.
And I've been on cruising is my favorite form of vacation, you know, by far, because it's a real vacation. Everything else is just travel with hassles and everything. With a cruise, you unpack once and you have all the entertainment, all the food, and all the traveling, you know, at the ports of call. If you want to do it on your own, or if you want to pay for a tour on a land tour package or something. It seems to me that I see plenty of empty cabins. But am I right that all of those cabins have been paid for? And if they're empty, it means that the people got sick or changed their mind or something, and the cruise ship was paid anyhow, because they don't refund money once you pay for your cruise. And if you're smart, you buy insurance, I guess, right?
So yes. Right. They sell insurance for about 4% of the price of the ticket.
It's just horrendously expensive insurance.
And then the insurance, they still get paid, right? When they sell a cabin, that's a final sale.
Do they ever resell a cabin that has been relinquished and they've been paid for so that they get paid twice?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So is the world of barter, that's one example that you've just given about things that are different in the world now because of computers and the internet and so forth. What's your business like now? I mean, you're a barter sort of guy, and it becomes easy. It's easy for you to be a barter sort of guy because you own quite a number of radio stations and ways to advertise and turn that, you know, barter money, that barter value into cash. Right.
Well, I've generated trade on about 4,000 stations over my career where I've placed it and given the radio station something other than cash. But I might give them a new transmitter or some equipment, or it could be anything. The bottom line is radio stations and hotels have something in common in that at midnight tonight, any commercial that KSCO didn't sell will evaporate, and that empty hotel room will evaporate.
Yeah.
So if you can trade...
Yeah, use it or lose it. It's like produce.
Yeah,
right?
You can trade the hotel room for a radio commercial, both benefit. It's not a substitute for cash. It's a added value, actually.
Right.
And you can... I'm doing a book with a publisher in San Francisco named Ali Perez, who is one of the leading marketing experts in the country. He's written two best-selling marketing books. He's going to call in here, Michael, in about 10 minutes.
Oh, good.
I got through to him during the break.
Uh-huh.
And a fascinating individual himself. And he's a co-author of the book that we're doing on barter.
Right.
Okay. Which tells a small business how to use barter as part of
it has to be a small business. What about people in general? Because, you know, this isn't very duplicatable, Dave. Most people don't own their own radio station like we do.
Right.
You know? And so in the promo that I wrote and was playing on the station for the last couple of days promoting this program, I predicted that more and more people are going to start paying for – there's going to be a barter economy, a return of the barter economy before, I don't know, one of the wars. I think a lot of that was the way that people did things. Now, how do you believe that I'm right with that? And if so, how is that going to happen?
Well, there's a company called iTex, which is headquartered in Portland, Oregon. And I deal with their dealer in Manhattan, New York, John Castora. And he has over 3,000 members of this barter club in the New York metropolitan area. And they all trade with each other.
Uh-huh.
And when you buy something through the club, you pay a cash fee to John of about 10%, which keeps him going.
Yeah.
There was a very successful barter club in Santa Cruz, which became part of, it's now part of ITEX, I-T-E-X.
Was that Barter Connection?
Yes.
Okay, because there's Dave Allen, who's one of our talk hosts for many years, is actually on the line right now. He called me this morning and suggested that I ask you, when he heard that you were going to be the guest, wanted me to ask you about IRS implications. And we spoke about the Barter Connection, which was here today and gone the next.
Well,
and
it became ITEX. It's still still in business, but it's out of San Francisco as ITEX.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So
well,
they still have accounts in your area.
Ollie is on from San Francisco, but so is Dave. I want to bring Dave on here because he's chosen to call. Dave, here's Dave. And,
I want to say happy birthday to Kay to begin with.
Okay, great. Thanks,
Dave. Man, 20 years. Anyways, I'm glad you got back because the promo did talk about bartering and I believe, as I told you before, Michael, that with this current so-called economy and the global economy was all controlled and contrived by, you know, banking and sort of blah, 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 only way out is for our country, our people, to go inward with their spiritual ideas and get out of the system. I was told for years that the Barter Connection went down, they flipped out, it went away because IRS started approaching them demanding that, there's actually sweat equity and value being bartered. We want our share. I would told them, blow off, but what are you going to do? So how does that affect anything when we have, I believe, constitutionally speaking, I mean, reality speaking, that the only reason the IRS can tax you is because we use their promissory notes called paper dollars that are printed by the Federal Reserve, and that is their tax, their commission, for their paper being into our global economy and commerce. But if we have a barter situation where I trade you for whatever it is, you pay me back by giving me a dozen eggs for a week for the next year, isn't that like our own business, not theirs?
Well, first of all, if you barter for something that you use personally, technically it's taxable unless you gave them something that already belonged to you. If you trade a car for a piece of property, you didn't have any gain. You now have a piece of property instead of having the car. There's no gain there. But if you make a profit, technically, yes. If a dentist is in a trade club and he goes out and eats dinner, technically he owes tax on the dinner unless it was business-oriented. But if he's a company and trades for company expenses, that's deductible anyway. So there is a tax consequence, but almost nobody gets into it big enough to have it really come up and be a tax consequence.
Okay, so the Barter Connection did move on, just change names. Well, they're not around here anymore, so what do we do?
Well, you can contact, I think it's ITEX through Google, you'll find out.
Yeah, there's a San Jose. In fact, I'm on the list. They called me and they sent me an email 6 months ago saying, are you aware that you have X thousands of dollars of credit with us? And I said, I do.
Wow.
Yeah, and they have regular functions in San Jose, I think. And so I didn't realize that what Dave just told us, that's the old Barter Connection. It's now called ITEX.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
you know,
everything else in the economy. You know, smaller companies get devoured by larger companies.
Right, because you know, Michael and Mr. Wagmore, that not so long ago, as little as like maybe 60, 70, 80 years ago, when doctors still kind of did the house calls, but back in the day, let's say little Johnny got sick, the doc could come over on the way home from work, whatever, and, you know, got stopped by the house, then you owe the doctor. Well, if you didn't have money, which a lot of people didn't have the cash money, they could trade the doctor, like, give him a dozen eggs next year, summertime, bring him over a bushel of corn every week, or, you know, there needs to be a way to work it out. Nowadays, it's like kind of gone, and then the IRS wants to stick their pinks in that end, so they demand their share, which I don't think is legally, constitutionally available to them.
Right.
There's no cash exchange. What are they doing in the picture?
Well, the use of barter predates money. I mean,
exactly.
Money came later. Originally, the only transactions were barter because there wasn't any money. And maybe then a rock represented money or something else.
That's right. Wampum, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Money is just money's only real because we think it is.
Thank
it
you.
Isn't really real. And it doesn't really have anything behind it. It's a piece of paper printed by a press that never stops by the federal government. As we spoke, they probably printed another $25
million. Exactly.
And they just throw it out there, and we accept it because we think we're going to be able to get something for it. But that's the only reason it has
but
any
that's,
value.
But that's changing now, huh? Because we're not – my confidence in the dollar is waning every minute.
I think that's why the sale of gold and a lot of these companies, including Alex Jones' program, says get some of your assets into gold because gold – is a hedge against inflation, and it's something you can hold. You can have it in a safe, and it's real.
Until another Roosevelt comes along and outlaws ownership of it.
So I keep hearing that's what Roosevelt did, and then who undid it?
Nixon. Trading with the Enemies Act, where it was illegal for U.S. citizens to own gold. Imagine that.
Well, they can hold it. Now you can.
Yeah, you can.
You can own gold.
But anyway, you talked earlier about Alex Jones and Chuck Harder. I used to listen to Harder back in the days, and he's gone. I remember him talking about that Nellis Air Force Base. But remember now, Alex Jones' kind of claim to fame was like 11 years ago. Remember Y2K?
Yeah.
He was broadcasting live that we have live reports, folks, that Russian troops are now coming across the Montana border through Canada. Russian troops coming to Alaska. It's all bull. People forget that one. I think Alex Jones is mostly bull myself, but what are you going to say? Anybody who never presents a solution or anything positive, what can I say? But the barter thing was like, say, Dave, I painted your radio station. You traded me advertising. Maybe I didn't use up all my advertising. I could go to John Doe and say, look, you have a garden? Why don't I give you these credits to advertise at Dave's station for produce in your garden? That would trading IOUs or promissory notes for the barter deal that you and I made. That's where money started entering the picture, I guess.
Right, and the way the trade club works is if you're a dentist and you do some dental work and now you have $2,000 credit with the trade club, ITEX worldwide has about 40,000 members. You can get a hotel room in Sydney, Australia for the dental work you just did in Santa Cruz. So
beautiful.
Or if your toilet's backed up, you can call a trade club plumber to come out and trade.
How do we get the IRS now out of our private trade business?
They're pretty much out of it. They had a trade club task force for a while.
There is a good.
And they realized that somebody figured out that for each dollar they were collecting with the task force, they were spending about $3,000.
That figures out. That's about right.
Which is typical government economy. And somebody said, wait a minute. We got $209 from dentist A, but it cost us $17,000 and work to get it. So,
that's what they do. They spend billions blocking up Al Capone.
Died
of syphilis anyways.
But the future of the trade club is here, and I think it will continue to prosper. And it's a way for people to take what they put into the club and get anything.
Well, I believe that could be a way for us as a people, as a nation, to save ourselves and get out from the greedy Wall Street connection with the Federal Reserve and the whole banking fraud system, you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, blah.
What do you think, right, Dave Wagenvoort, to what Dave Allen just said, of what he just said? What do you think of that?
About the dollar?
No, yeah. About the trade club. That could be our only redeeming factor. Save ourselves as a nation, as a people, from dying and freezing in the dark. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're always going to have the dollar also, because the dollar is convenience. It's easier to go buy something with a $100 bill.
Right now it is.
Yeah, than to go out and say, well, let me clean your teeth and then I'll eat here.
No, until the dollar
it's more complicated and it's slower. But it's also more profitable for both parties.
But what happens, though, when a roll of toilet paper is more valuable than a dollar? Which is get like that as it is.
Then we'll be driving around with a truckload of toilet paper to get some groceries. Yeah, right, yeah.
Or just say afangu to the Federal Reserve System and adios to the IRS, all the rest of them.
Oh, no, I'm afraid. Who said the only thing sure is death and taxes? I think that's probably true.
But people got to remember, as tax day comes up, all the money they collect this year in taxes only goes towards servicing interest on the debt, and all that money gets sent to where? the National Monetary Fund. The argument, well, you need roads, you need Air Force, you need military, is not a true argument anymore.
Well, you do need all that.
But it doesn't go to it anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, barter's not going to become the dominant method of what people do, but it is going to become more prominent than it is now, simply because as the dollar goes down, it's a way to strengthen how much you're able to get.
Right. Because I'll give you $10. Hey, look, I'd rather have a dozen eggs. That I can eat.
I do barter seminars with Jay Abraham, who's a marketing guru in Southern California. He writes a lot of Tony Robbins stuff, and he does 3-day seminars. And I come in the last day and talk about barter. And one of the stories I tell is this farmer goes next door, and he has a flatbed truck full of apples. And he says, I got too many apples, to the farmer B. What do you have? And he says, well, I'll give you a plow for the truckload of apples. So he takes the plow. Now he's got a plow, and now Farmer B has the apples. So he goes to his son and says, we got to get rid of these apples. We couldn't possibly eat them all. Take them over to Farmer C and see what you can get. He comes back with some seed that they can use next year. So now they got seed, and Farmer C has the apples. Farmer C says to his son, son, we don't need all these apples. Let's get rid of them. And the son goes out and looks at him. He comes back. He says, Dad, I got bad news. He said, these apples are all rotten. He said, they aren't worth anything. He said, son, you just don't understand the trading business. These are not eating apples. These are trading apples.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lot of truth in that. There used to be some Australian wine in Los Angeles, and if a new barter guy came to town, they'd say, there's a whole warehouse full of Australian wine. Just give them radio time or anything, and you can have the wine. And if you bought it and took the wine, it all turned to vinegar. It had been there for like 20 years.
Right, right.
The wine was all bad. So you have to be careful in barter, just like you do in cash transactions. Make sure you're dealing with people that are honest and are going to deliver. There's a lot of fraud.
Burning meat off stuff turned to rotten apples in vinegar.
Yeah, he is now trying to turn in the banks. I don't know if you saw that.
Good.
He's saying that these banks knew what he was doing. And
all he did was mimic what he saw going down with the banks. They took it out on him. He was blowing their cover.
He said they knew what I was doing, but it was so profitable they didn't say anything.
There you go.
True.
Well, anyway, good show. I'll keep on listening.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
All right, man.
It was Dave Allen. Let's go to Dave Wagenvoort's friend, Ollie in San Francisco. Yeah, Ollie in San Francisco. We're going to lock you in. Welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and your buddy Dave Wagenvoort.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hey, great. So you're just up the road in San Francisco. How do you guys know each other?
I've followed Dave through his work with Jay Abraham. I mean, it's a pleasure actually to be associated with Dave. Dave, as you know, is a world expert in barter trade and commerce and like $500 million.
Yeah.
And I'm an author and written 2 books in marketing. And obviously I'm keeping my finger on the pulse of what's going on. And we hooked up through, you know, my work and his work with Jay Abraham and sort of got talking about barter and realized there's a lot more to this. And it's something that we need to get out in a broader spectrum rather than keep as a secret anymore.
So what do you think about the future of barter? Forget about guys like me and Dave Wagenvoort who own radio stations. What do you think about barter just among the people? Do you think that that's going to be a lot bigger than it is now?
Well, maybe I should give you a quote from Albert Einstein, who said that if I had to live my life all over again, I would elect to be a trader of goods rather than a student of science. I think barter is a noble thing. So I think the thing is we're going to have barter as part of our product portfolio, as part of the way we do business, as part of the way we look at the new economy, because cash is not available anymore. Cash is the biggest problem we have at the moment. That's why we're in debt, because we don't have cash. So if you look at the economy, people think there's cash and there's credit. There's actually a whole new form of currency, which is barter, which is trading and not using cash, as Dave says, a cashless society. So like it or not, I think we're going to have to move to it. I agree totally what, you know, my mentor Dave teaches me. It's not going to replace cash, but it will become a very important part. It's another creative financing tool, and it's perfectly ethical. It's legal. It's not a tax evasion strategy. It's most probably a very smart way to do business.
Yeah, but like it's been around for a long time.
but it's misunderstood.
Okay, and so that is the purpose of this program, to help people understand that what's been around for a long time is still around and will probably gain in popularity and use by the society in general. That's what I think.
No, I totally agree with you, and I think that me and Dave are actually in the process of writing a book to help people get the average person, or especially the average business person who's struggling in today's economy, get a better handle of what BARTA is, how it works, how it can be worked, and actually put a lot of case studies in that will help people understand, you know, BARTA and BARTA trade in general.
Mm-hmm. And when is this book going to be out, do you think?
I would say 6 months from now. We've just putting the elements together.
Do you have a title yet?
We do. Dave, is it okay to share the title?
Sure.
Okay. Our book will be called No Cash, No Problem.
All right. What a great... I think you guys are going to have a bestseller on your hands. You know, if it's a general information book, not just necessarily aimed at business people. Although I think more and more people are becoming business people now because there are no jobs. They almost have to become business people if they want to eat.
Well, that's a very valuable point because, you know, one thing we talk about in our book, and we sort of drafted it out, is that if you don't have money, what you do have is time. And you can time is a currency in itself. You can trade your time. You know, if you're a handyman or, you know, you have certain skill sets, you can go to a barter club and you can trade that for something else. So although you may not have money, you certainly do have time, and with time associates with skill, and you can trade that in a barter club. So people do have talents and capabilities that they can trade.
Right. Okay. I want to open the phone lines. All these calls that we've gotten so far have been either guests on the program or people who have called without, us officially opening the phone line. So that's what I'm going to do right now. 479-1080 is the phone number. We got these two great guys on the radio with us, Dave Wagenvoort and Ali. What's your last name, Ali?
It's Ali Pavez, P-E-R-V-E-Z, Ali Pavez.
Ali Pavez. Okay, we've got Ali and Dave on the radio here with us for the remaining 30 minutes or so. And if you want to give us a call at 479-1080 and join in the conversation, ask a question or make a comment, we would love to have you do so. But right now, let's take a commercial break because we do have quite a number of commercial advertisers here that we want to promote. So take it away, Nikki.
A lot of good things happened when World War II ended, and one of them happened right here when Colonel Frank Trowbridge purchased Palace Art and Office Supply. The Trowbridge family has been working hard ever since to serve the art and office supply needs of Santa Cruz County. And this month, Palace is celebrating its 62nd anniversary with a huge customer appreciation sale in their retail stores. Listen to some of the great deals you'll find at Palace Art and Office Supply in April.
For the artist, stretched artist canvas, 60% off in studio or gallery styles, and 70% off in the economy 2-pack. Artist grade paints at 40% off for watercolor, acrylic, and oil.
When you've been in business for 62 years, you've been doing something right. What Palace Art and Office Supply has been doing right is taking good care of you. Get in on all the great deals at Palace's huge customer appreciation anniversary sale today.
Palace Art and Office Supply in Santa Cruz and Capitola, a proud member of Think Local First.
Hello, I'm Meg Cross. I'm the principal of the Aptos Academy, where futures are created. Our school is a non-denominational, all-inclusive school. We welcome students of all race, religion, and ethnicity. At a time when many programs are unfortunately being cut, our school continues to offer all of the extras: arts, music, drama, daily PE, foreign language, everything your child needs for a full and rich academic career. Tour our beautiful 5-acre campus and see what the Aptos Academy can do for you and your child. We can be reached at 831-688-1080. Call to schedule a tour. Meet our wonderful, enthusiastic, dedicated teachers, our parents, and our students. Find out how wonderful our small community school is, and you'll find that an excellent education can be affordable. Call to schedule a tour, 831-688-1080, 831-688-1080.
Whet your appetite, Central California. Taste over 30 extra virgin olive oils, over 20 aged balsamic vinegars, and a dozen fused olive oils from around the world 7 days a week. It's time for a taste of the true olive connection with Susan and Mike Pappas.
Taste the smoky flavor of our fresh extra virgin chipotle olive oil. Marinate steaks and chicken or drizzle over grilled vegetables or pizza for a special taste treat.
Taste our aged tangerine balsamic vinegar, both sweet and tart. This vinegar is a true delight as a salad dressing, bread dipping, or paired with any of our oils.
Put them together for an amazing barbecue marinade with just the right amount of heat to bring your meat to its true potential. Opa!
Taste over 30 extra virgin olive oils, over 20 aged balsamic vinegars, and a dozen fused olive oils from around the world 7 days a week at True Olive Connections Complimentary Tasting Room on Lincoln Street in downtown Santa Cruz. And by the way, you'll find the best gift ideas this side of Tuscany at the True Olive Connection.
MZ here to introduce my friend Paul Tarabi, owner of the California Grill restaurant and the Freedom Shopping Center Freedom. Recently, I had another wonderful meal at the California Grill and talked with Paul.
Paul, is there anybody who dislikes the California Grill?
I don't think so. I really don't. They all love it. They love our food, they love our service, and they love our price.
What do they love most about the food?
It's a good, wholesome food. We make fresh daily here. Every day. Every day, everything from scratch, including our salad dressing, including all of our vegetables, is just diced, cut every morning.
And hardly anybody does that, really, at any restaurant. Everybody else, most restaurants take things out of a can. Is that right?
Well, I don't know about other restaurants. I know what we do is everything is fresh from scratch every day. Every day.
California Grill Restaurant, corner Freedom and Airport Boulevards in the Freedom Shopping Center. Freedom. Open 7 days, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Try it and tell Paul MZ sent you.
Hello, this is Donald Davidson, the host of the Perspectives Radio Show on every Saturday, 12 noon. We interview well-known authors and doctors in many fields, bringing you cutting-edge news on current events on both a local and national level. So listen in to the Perspectives Radio Show at 12 noon on Saturdays on 1080 KSCO.
What great bumper music. Thank you, Nikki James. And by the way, the California Grill played a significant role in Kay's 90th anniversary of her birth potty yesterday. I cooked up a storm and we had the family over. But I remember that my mom absolutely is crazy and wild about the California Grill pot roast. You can't have better pot roast anywhere on earth. I know that sounds like a wild statement, but it's a true statement. No one makes pot roast like the California Grill. And I believe that they only have it on the menu normally on Wednesdays. They might have it on as a special some other time, but call the California Grill if you can't get there on Wednesday and ask them if they have pot roast. I rave about it. My mother raves about it. Everybody at the potty raved about it. They didn't like my food because it was a big mistake in that regard because I work really hard to make my food, and it's pretty darn good. But given the choice between the California Grill pot roast and my Nunna meatballs and my fresh tomato and garlic sauce pasta, everybody chose the first one, and then they got full. They chose the pot roast, and then they got full. Anyhow, California Grill at the corner of Airport Boulevard and Freedom Boulevard in Freedom, California. Okay, we've got Dave Wagenvoort, and we got a full line, full board of callers here. Let's go back to phone lines here. Richard and Watson, you've been waiting a long time. You're on the air now.
Hey, thank you, Michael. Thank you for having Dave Wagenvoort on. I remember when he was over at KNRY, and
Well, actually, I think it was called K-Pup back in those days, 540.
For the 540 station, that's right. Hold on, let me lock you in here and bring Dave back on, because I realize I haven't done that. Yeah, okay, Dave, you're on with Richard, and Allie is still on hold here. We don't want to put more than two people together, because it gets super echoey for some reason.
Yeah, well, hi, Richard, how are you?
Hey, Dave, long time no hear. I remember those Chuck Harder days, making lemons into lemonade, you know?
Yeah, Chuck Harder wouldn't be considered outrageous today, because a lot of the things he said have come true.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Jack Ellery?
That's a good question.
You know, and Schroeder Kennedy and Dan Ryan and Dave Lowry, and I know Dave Lowry's the one that got Chris Matthews going on KNRY.
That's right.
Because Chris was working up at the Chronicle and would call down every week.
That's right.
And
absolutely.
I remember when you were at KBEG in Las Vegas and had an advertising agency.
That's correct.
I mean, yeah. You remember the World Citizen calling in from World Headquarters?
Yes, I do.
I own that guy.
Wow.
I own him and the Butcher and the one that goes after all the Christian stations, the Chosen Pagan.
What does that mean, own that guy? What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, I own a whole bunch of these characters that call up these radio stations and terrorize the airwaves.
I think they're all him.
Yeah, exactly. And the best part about it is, you know, you were talking about bartering. It was the Santa Cruz Barter Network in the beginning, and they didn't have a way to get out, and I was working at KDON in Salinas, and they came to me, and I thought it was some kind of communication thing, because it said network, and it wound up being this barter network that they wanted to start out and put on the airwaves, and my boss told me, tell those guys, put us some money, and we'll talk to them, but that went to the Barter Connection, and the Barter Connection was the printed version, where they could actually see what they were promoting, as far as goods being traded for this and that between different businesses. And then the Barter Connection, I believe, came Connections Magazine. But the thing is...
No. I know the Connections Magazine guy. I'm sure that's not true. If Tom's listening, he can call in. But
They might be able to... They use the same letterhead is the thing I remember about it. But the thing is I'm wondering, at what point are we going to get to multi-level radio? Because you guys were talking earlier about a bunch of radio stations that are owned by just a couple of corporations. Those radio stations are seriously hurting. I can see where this could be a benefit for a whole lot of radio stations, like you're talking about, whether it's a local regional, or national.
Now you're getting into my bailiwick, Richard, and I haven't ever stopped to think about that. I'm gonna put on my thinking cap and figure out how that could work, you know.
All right.
But thanks very much for calling.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it. Okay, there goes Richard in Watsonville. Here's someone, Andrew Anderson, who lives in Vegas, I think, right? Andy, are you there?
Hi there. I'm right here.
Andrew Anderson. Welcome to the Saturday special with Allie and Dave and MZ. You're on.
Well, I thought I'd have a little fun and take a short trip down memory lane. First off, I talked with Dave Vagevoort many times trying to shake the bush where the Dr. Wallach, but he never did quite agree to do it. But second of all, I wanted to remind you that the way you met my wife, Phyllis, was when she owned Typographics in Santa Cruz.
Yep.
And you came over to sell some barter from the Barter Connection, and I happened to be there, and we got to chatting.
Right.
And that's where we met for the very first time.
That's true. I remember that, Andy. That's absolutely true.
And then you made a comment about, I got to put you on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, I was shaking in my boots when I thought about it later. And I think a week or so later, Rosemary calls. But my emphasis for calling was simply your content earlier about barter. And there's some real merit to it. And it certainly got us a chance to meet you. And look at the great journey we've been on for the last 14 years.
Incredible. Yeah, it's just been wonderful. Yeah,
that's it from Las Vegas.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling. That was Andy Anderson, a very good friend of mine. I've made some of the best friends in my life in the networking business, selling the premium quality nutritional supplements. We make radio stations actually business partners with us. And so that's worked out pretty nicely. Here's Wendell in Santa Cruz. Wendell, welcome to the Saturday special with Dave
Thank
and Ali
you.
And MZ.
Thank you. I've got something real interesting. I have the Barter Network checklist catalog from 1985, I kept it all these years just in case bartering came back.
Well, good.
And it's really fascinating because it has all the skills for bartering, for the different bartering arrangements.
Uh-huh.
And they've got it all divided up, and it's really interesting because it catalogs just about everything you can think of that you can do, you know, in exchange.
Well, and according to Dave Wagenvoort, who just told us earlier, I think it was last hour, that that Barter Connection still exists, except it's called iTex now, which is a much bigger company that has offices all over the country. And I know the closest one right now to us is in San Jose.
I just want to tell you guys something real quick. One of my friends used to do river raft trips, and he wanted a pair of roller skates. So he went downtown and traded a river raft trip for some roller skates, and you never saw happier people. The people that went on the river raft trip had the thrill of their life, and my friend got a brand new pair of roller skates, and he was really thrilled with those. So it really worked out good in certain situations.
Yeah, terrific. Well, that's good. Well, thanks for calling the KSCO Saturday Special, Wendell. Appreciate it. Take care. Okay, back now with Dave and Allie. And So is there anything, you know, new? How is the Internet changing barter? Does anybody want to jump on
that? This is Dave. The Internet is another way to barter. You can barter for Internet time. You can barter. Here in Clearwater, we have a large barter presence. And by the way, I'll give our website out.
Yeah,
it's
please.
Tan Talk, like suntan, TANTALK 1340.com, 1340.com. And on there you'll see a lot of about our radio stations. But I think what all the bartering happening can do, if you can barter for something you were going to buy anyway, you got 100% for your barter. If you're a plumber and you need to get your car painted, and you can trade plumbing at the car dealership for painting the car, both parties got 100 cents value out of the barter. They were going to have to buy that anyway.
Sure. And that's neat, because I used to be a pretty active real estate broker, and I used to enjoy working with investor-type people, people that I learned so much from that I almost felt guilty collecting commissions. I felt I should have been paying them because I was learning so darn much. But just about every deal that I did involved a trade, what they call a 1031 tax-deferred exchange. And it was very, very rare that two people, a buyer and a seller, where the happened to each want what the other person had. It's very, very rare. And so there was always a third party involved who had the cash to buy one of the properties and then hold title for just a split second and then enable the exchange to take place so that it was not considered a taxable event that would trigger IRS taxes, if presuming that there was a gain involved. So what do they have equivalent? I mean, suppose, I guess that's what the barter clubs are all about, huh? For people who just want to join and have goods or services that they want to trade. And that's how it's sort of a clearinghouse, right?
Right. Well, once you're in a barter club, let's say you own a restaurant, you're going to get emails every week of new people that have joined the club. It could be a chiropractor, a doctor, a car dealer who's trading repairs on cars. Just anything you can think of is going to be in that club. And you can decide how you want to use your credits. When you put credits into the club, in other words, put in goods or services, you now have a credit with everybody. But while we have Ali on the line, I would like him to plug his two books, because if you're a businessman, he's got two absolute Bibles on marketing. And there's nothing more important in your business, as you listen to this, than marketing. And you either know that or you better get to know that. And there are many ways to market. Barter is only one of them. But Ali, can you explain how somebody can access your books?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, appreciate that. Yes, certainly. I've written two books. One is called Marketing is King, and you can go to marketingisking.com, and it's primarily it's the basics of marketing, whether it be finding a job and or building a business. It's really, I was very passionate about marketing and wanted people to really understand what marketing is and how to apply it. So that's the marketing.
We need to have you as a guest on the Saturday special yourself just to talk about that, because I'm telling you, more and more people are deciding that they don't want to be wage slaves because they lose their jobs no matter how good a job they do.
Well, what I say is that the big you have in life is the ability to be able to market, because I've made the statement, and I'll say it again on radio also, is if your level of success will alter your capability to market, whether it be goods, services, or your own skill sets when you go to get a job. So I'm extremely passionate about marketing. I've seen my own father go through many turbulent times in his life because he didn't understand marketing. And that was primarily the impetus why I wrote Marketing is King, because I just felt the world needed to understand what marketing is, how to market to build a, you know, business, get a job, whatever. So anyway, that's about marketing.
Yeah, no, even if you're not interested in being an entrepreneur,
you need to market
yourself in order to land a job. And marketing becomes that much more important in times like these when jobs are very scarce.
Right. Well, respectfully, it's not marketing yourself. It's actually marketing your skill sets. People buy the skills that you offer to solve their problems. So I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just trying to...
Sure. No, I understand. I would really appreciate it if you would email me your contact information.
Certainly.
MZ@KSCO.com.
MZ@KSCO.com. KSCO.com. Well, yeah, I'm very passionate about marketing.
Clearly.
Tremendously.
I've written two books on it. Wow, that's great.
Right. Well, one's an international bestseller, which is the second one, which is called Get Your Black Belt in Marketing. Get Your Black Belt in Marketing. And that's available at blackbeltinmarketing.com, blackbeltinmarketing.com.
Great.
So, I mean, also, the thing was that with Black Belt, what I was trying to do was really trying, and it's more for the business owner, you know, it's really for people who, you know, who really have a business and really want to try and, you know, learn the key things they you know, that they need to do. So then it's at blackbeltinmarketing.com. You can get your blackbeltinmarketing.com. And in that book, I break down all that I've learned in marketing for 30 years. I've been through 22 different countries. I've done marketing projects in all of them. You know, I have a very strong marketing background. And what I did was I tried to share with people what I have learned, and so they can learn it in a compressed time and, you know, convert decades into days, as we'd say. And I broke down everything into 81 moves. Because to get a black belt, you need to learn certain forms. I mean, my son's a black belt also, but you need to learn certain forms. And if you do Taekwondo, it's like 81 moves. So I broke down marketing creatively into 81 moves that, you know, all, you know, people do to generate revenue. And actually, move number 62 in my book is barter trade, which is everything what Dave's talking about here. And so it's a power move in itself. If you know how to barter, you're a black belt marketer.
What could the other 80 moves be?
Well, you'd have to read the
book. If only one of them is barter. Whoa.
Exactly. Well, that's why. So now you understand why it's called Get Your Black Belt in Marketing. Because if you truly master these moves, these are the moves that are used by some of the world's most successful organizations. And you know what's really interesting? If you bring me anybody who's successful in marketing, anybody, any company, I will show you a move in the book that actually shows you what they're doing.
I believe it.
Yeah, because it's all what I believe is there's no magic or mystique to marketing.
Is this book available?
Amazon.
I was going to say, because Amazon, you can get anything on Amazon.
Oh, yeah,
you might be able to get it, you know, for less. Directly from your site, right?
Well, yeah, I think Amazon discounts it more, so they have a cheaper deal on it. But you can type my name, Ali Pervez, in the internet. You can go to Amazon.com. You can see it. But again, I'm really about helping people. And to tell you the truth, the reason I got involved with Dave, because I was looking at barter and I heard about it from Jay Abrams, being the world's, you know, one of the greatest gurus in the world. I mean, you know, the only thing is what I've learned, there's like 200 people in the world. This is per my research for the book that we're doing. 200 people in the world who really understand what barter trade is all about, and Dave's one of them. So I said to Dave, I said, come on, man, you got to put a book out here. How can we keep this as a secret anymore? You know, so our next book will be published by Morgan Jane Publishing. Hopefully, it'll be due out in 6 months. And we'll cover everything that, you know, the guests have asked on this question. How does it impact tax? How does it impact internet? How do I do barter if I'm a small business? How do I do it for an individual? There's so many questions that, you know, it's helping me as I write the book and really download Dave's knowledge, you know, because I have the marketing background and he understands, obviously, the business.
Right. Well, I'm a huge proponent of entrepreneurism. I lost a job that I loved at the age of 21.
Yeah,
And I was devastated at the time, but it turned out to be the greatest thing that could have happened. Because I learned at a really tender age that I needed to be entrepreneurial. I needed to make my own way through life. Because look what happens even when you do a good job and the boss pats you on the back every day telling you how appreciative he is of you. And then all of a sudden, he calls you in and says, you better sit down for this. This is not my decision. These are my bosses, corporate, 3,000 miles away. The stock is way down. I'm going to have to lay you off. Hey, no way to live, I'm telling you.
No, it's not.
When you do a really good job for somebody, you do a good job when you work for yourself, you're going to do just fine, thank you. If you do a really good job for someone else, you may or may not do fine.
Well, the point is people get worried about entrepreneurship and say, well, you know, will I be able to get, you know, it's as you say, whether you're on your own or whether you're working for somebody, it's how good a job you do. But when you're on your own, you're in total control.
Right. Yep. And that's just so important. Would you agree, Dave?
Absolutely. I became an entrepreneur because the company I was working for, I was running six radio stations for a public company, and they went into the publishing business and published a thing called Swimming Pool Monthly and lost so much money that they went into bankruptcy and had to spin off the radio stations, and I bought one of them. And that's how I became an entrepreneur. I essentially lost my job because the company went under. And that was in 1967, and I haven't worked for anybody since then.
And what station was that?
WWOM, The Wonderful World of Music in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
And we also had WEW in St. Louis, which was the second oldest station in the United States. It was owned by St. Louis University originally. It was AM 770. We had WMIN in Minneapolis. And then we had WLOD, The Wonderful Land of Dreams, in Fort Lauderdale.
You are my hero in broadcasting. You really are, because you've bought and sold. You've enjoyed. You have fun along the way. I've had a lot of fun with KSCO and KOMY, you know, but I've never sold a station in my life. You've bought and sold lots of them.
Now, even with the down economy, and just in Los Angeles 2 years ago, the total advertising spent on L.A. stations was $1 billion plus. It fell down to $600 million. That's $400 million a year gone. That's $1 million a day gone as the economy went down. Now it's back up to about $700 million. It's still off 30%. But I'll bet you that this year on KSCO, you're doing as much as you ever did.
Because you're a local radio station.
This has not happened to local stations.
Yeah.
Local stations.
Serve our communities. You know,
you serve your community. You serve the Monterey Bay community in San Jose.
Yeah.
And there'll always be a market for local stations because the big boys can't afford to do that.
Yeah. It's never enough. We never sell enough advertising. We always want to sell more, you know. But the audience does keep growing because more and more people learn that we're something special.
Well, if you've got good content, you're always going to have people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but we've done a very poor job of marketing ourselves.
Most radio stations.
So I need to read your book here coming up, you guys.
Most radio stations do a horrible job of marketing themselves. They don't do it at all. They're sitting there with 24 hours a day of an audience, and they don't even ask them to buy.
Well, see, that's what I do. I do that in the current issue. You get Talkers Magazine, Dave?
Yes, I do. Okay. I saw your picture there. You look like you're about 32 years old.
Yeah. Right. No. The forget about the ad. They asked me to contribute to a story. They interviewed me about they were doing a story on radio stations selling stuff to its listeners,
right,
rather than selling advertising. Now we do both. But, you know, for the last 14 years, I mean, way more of the income to this station has come from selling products. Little commissions on products that we believe are really fine products and that we're very proud to promote to our audience.
Yep.
And it works. So, you know, that's one of the – they wanted me to be part of that story. So I certainly agreed. But
yeah, it was very interesting. Great plug for you, Santa Cruz, and your radio station.
Right. Okay, well, gee, here we are with less than a minute and a half to go here, so there's no
okay,
time for
any
calls.
Okay, Ollie, could you send your two books to Michael so he can read them?
I absolutely will.
Oh, what a deal. This is fantastic. And so we definitely want to have you on to talk about that. And when you guys get your collaborated book out, we want to be the first to interview you both, you know.
And I'd like to give my website out if
please,
you don't mind.
Yeah,
if you want to contact me, it's dave@wagonvoor.com. W-A-G-E-N, like Nancy, V, Victor, O-O-R-D.com. dave@wagonvoor.com, if any of your listeners I would like to contact me regarding anything. I will respond to anybody.
Dave is a great character. I think you've gotten to know him at least a little bit on this program. And, Ali, thanks. Continued success to both of you gentlemen. And that's about it for the KSCO Saturday Special, which will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight on KSCO and on demand at KSCO.com if we ever get our act together here. That's it. Thank you, Nikki. Wonderful. See you next week, probably.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and we have another 7 seconds to kill. And so I will thank you for doing a wonderful job once again, because I never thank you enough, Nikki. And now it's 12 noon.
Fox News Radio, I'm Brett Larson. With just a little time to spare, congressional leaders in the White House come to a deal to keep the government going.
House Speaker John Boehner claims it's the best deal Republicans could get.
This has been a lot of discussion and a long fight.
Senate Democrats and President Obama have agreed to more than $38 billion in cuts for the rest of the fiscal year.
We also made sure that at the end of the day, this was a debate about spending cuts, not social issues like women's health and the protection of our air and water.
Republicans dropped policy riders that would have stripped funds for Planned Parenthood and the EPA. A one-week stopgap measure is funding the government until Congress takes up the long-term bill next week. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
International aid slowly reaching the shores of Japan almost a month after the devastating quake and tsunami.
It was my first time volunteering.
Shelly Sweeney and Najat Shinino got into a van 10 days after the earthquake to help survivors in any way they could. They packed it full of food, clothing, and art supplies. They weren't prepared for the reality of Sendai.
And then with the dead body missing everywhere and people looking for them, that became more like, oh my God, this is like, you know, a war zone.
More than 28,000 people are either missing or dead, according to the government. Shelley and Najat joined three other people with the nonprofit Kids Earth Fund. They wanted to make this incomprehensible situation a little better for a few of the 160,000 people left asking why me.
Coming back here, even now I catch myself feeling guilty when I eat something good. Yeah.
In Tokyo, Mike Togle, Fox News Radio.
Fighting continues in Ivory Coast. Forces supporting entrenched strongman Laurent Gbagbo broke through the security perimeter imposed around the presidential compound today, firing on French helicopters. The advance gave hope to Gbagbo's supporters, who have been on the brink of defeat by forces trying to install the democratically elected winner of the November presidential election. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Judge Napolitano is on the case, policing big government, exposing bureaucrats, safeguarding your rights.
The Constitution was written to limit the government. When politicians cross that line, I'll be there.
The judge is taking the toughest issues head on. Exclusive interviews, hard-hitting investigations. The one show delivering a message straight to D.C.'s power players.
From Capitol happenings to Supreme Court surprises, we're in the middle of it all.
Catch Freedom Watch weeknights at 8 Eastern, only on Fox Business, the power to prosper.
Protests haven't ended in Egypt. Thousands of protesters meeting in Cairo's Tahrir Square are demanding former President Hosni Mubarak be put on trial. Protesters were also throwing rocks at military tanks, demanding they hand over power to civilians. Sidney Lumet died at his home in Manhattan today after a battle with lymphoma. He directed films such as 12 Angry Men, Dog Day Afternoon, and Network, with the classic movie line from angry newscaster Howard Beale.
Go to the window,
open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Lumet was 86 years old. Movie man Tyler Perry delivered on a Christmas promise, handing over the keys of a new four-bedroom house to 88-year-old Rosa Lee Ransby. Ransby lost her home to a fire, leaving her seven grand and great-grandchildren homeless before Christmas. Perry saw the story on the news and decided to rebuild the house and also fully furnish it. A car crash takes another life from a family in the South.
From northwestern South Carolina, word that 18-year-old Aaron Sean Hill has been killed in a traffic accident on Highway 129 in the town of Welford. His car colliding head-on with a pickup truck that had crossed the center line, driven by a man who didn't have a valid driver's license. The portion of the highway where the crash occurred is named Sergeant Sean F. Hill Memorial Highway under a resolution passed by the state's General Assembly. Sergeant Hill was killed in Afghanistan in 2008. Aaron Sean Hill, the dead man in today's accident on that stretch of road, was his son. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Christie's Auction House saying it's reached an agreement with Elizabeth Taylor's family to sell her prized jewelry collection, as well as some of her art, clothing, and other memorabilia. Christie's says it plans a series of auctions that it will announce later this spring. The star was known for her passion for opulent diamonds, penning a 2003 book titled Elizabeth Taylor, My Love Affair with Jewelry. I'm Brett Larson, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned into KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Looks like sunny skies today. High of 65. West-northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly clear. Low of 42 with the west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And out there tomorrow, we got partly cloudy. High of 64. West-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And on the Monterey Bay, the east winds 10 knots, becoming west 10 to 20 with occasional gusts to 25 this afternoon. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 5 to 7 feet.